always had to preach a simple sermon. In what words would you condense the totality of the story of the Bible? Let me introduce the sermon by telling the story of a man who said to his wife, "Honey, you've heard me preach a lot. Could you just make some notations about what will help the my sermon and what will help my preaching?" And so he said that right before service. And he got up to preach. He handed him a note, and he opened it up while he was standing there. And on the note was the word "kiss," KISS. He thought, "How sweet! That is really, really wonderful." And he said to her something about how sweet it was. She said, "That did not mean sweet. KISS means keep it simple. Stupid." And so that's what I want us to do. Suppose you met somebody who never found the Bible. How would you make it simple? Three words in the lesson. If you get these three words and mama asks you on the way home, what that preacher preach about, get these three words and they'll really be proud of you, okay? Three words. Could I begin with the word God? God. That's it. That's where it all starts. You want to know the story of the Bible? It all begins with God. We've got to talk in definition. What do you mean when you say God? Well, we're not talking about a God. We're not just talking about a God where there are just a lot of gods and many of them are equal and you get to pick and choose which God you want to serve. You want the God of thunder? We got one for you. You want the God of lightning? You want the God of sunshine? Even if you want the God of moonshine, we've got the God for you. That's paganism. Think of the immorality and the ungodliness that was involved in pagan worship. And even in our own day, think of how secular Christianity has become, even in America. When we began talking about the story of the Bible, I really didn't understand there is that Almighty God. That's where it all starts. I'm not just talking about a mighty God. I'm not talking about, he's in the top five gods of all. I'm talking to you about the very definition of the word God. You look at that evolutionary Time Life magazine tree where you've got the little amoebas and then you've got the more complex animals and then you just keep going on and up and up and up and you get the ape man, the Cro-Magnon man, and finally you get the American. And you get all the way, and I'm not sure who's at the top. And then you put the angels. And right at the very top is the word God. Unique, almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present. There is one God. Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God is one God. And you and I need to understand by the very definition that the God of the Bible, the God that we're talking about as we're trying to teach somebody about Christianity, that's where it all starts. You and I need to understand that he has a name. At the burning bush, Moses said, "What is his name?" And the Lord in those early chapters of Genesis chapter 3 and chapter 6, combined them, and Moses in that the burning bush. And God says, "I was not known by this name to the fathers. I was known to them as the Almighty God." And that is an unbelievable description of him. Almighty God, Abraham, Noah, Almighty God. Yes. That's who we're talking about. He is the Almighty God. But then he says, "My name is," depending on the Hebrew word that is used, the word Jehovah in another form is the I am that I am.
That's the eternal one. That's the unchanging one. That is the one who is sum and substance of all that there is on this earth. You see, you and I need to understand that he is the creator of all things. And He is the Almighty One. Ask Noah. Ask Noah. Tell me about Jehovah. Tell me about the Almighty God. Tell me about His nature. Tell me about His love. Tell me about His compassion. Tell me about His justice. Tell me about the fact that He is a God who has revealed Himself. Tell me about this God. If I were talking to someone, I would say to you, His name is not Allah. That is not His name. For Allah never had a son to die for me. And it's a lie for someone to say, we worship the God you worship, but we call Him by a different name. That is not His name. His name is Jehovah, Almighty God, the Eternal One, the Almighty One, the Omniscient, Omnipresent, Omnipotent One. That's who we're talking about. And if I wanted to keep it simple, I would begin by saying to you, God. Hebrews 1 that was read, God has spoken. Look at the word spoken. If I wanted to make it simple, the story of the Bible, if I wanted in three words to talk about the story of the Bible, I'd focus on that word spoken. For He is a God of revelation. If He had never spoken, we'd never know He was there. Oh, we could know He was there by nature. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows His handiwork. And there's no tongue, there's no language on this earth where that voice of God that speaks in nature that says, I am the Eternal One. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 20 says that by nature you can know there is deity. There is His Godhead. And there is His power. God has revealed Himself. Psalms 19, verse 2 says, there is no language on this earth where the voice of the heavens that are declaring, showing forth, manifesting, speaking forth the very reality of God, there is no language or earth, language or tongue on this earth where that voice is not heard. But you see, you'd never know what you wanted Him to do. You'd never ever figure it out. Look at paganism. Look at paganism where they would offer their children in Egypt by throwing their babies into the Nile River to sacrifice them to the crocodiles that were there. Look at those individuals in biblical times. You know that expression? He caused His children to pass through the fire when they worshiped the god Molech, one of the pagan gods, the god of the Moabites. They would literally take their children and place them in the burning, glowing metal hands of an idol called Molech. They built fires inside this image. And whenever those hands that extended outward became glowing red, they would lay their children there and burn their children up while they were playing drums and making other noises to hide the crying of those children as they cried out in pain. You wouldn't know if that's right or wrong. God has spoken. Adam and Eve, what was it Satan asked you in the garden? Has God said, this God that you're worshiping, this God that you're trying to serve, did He say anything to you? If God has not spoken, then we are in darkness. God has spoken. Go to the burning bush. You hear the voice of God. Do you know where the burning bush was located? On a mountain. Do you know the name of that mountain? Mount Sinai. At the burning bush, God said, Moses, go down to the land of Egypt and bring My people back to this mountain. You ought to hear the voice of God speak at Mount Sinai. See the manifestation of the Almighty One in all of the plagues in the land of Egypt. See the Almighty One, the Omnipotent One, as they cross the Red Sea. See the caring God as He gives them the manna and the quails to eat. But when you get to Mount Sinai and you see the manifestation of His powers, the ground is shaking beneath your feet, and there's the thunder, and there is the lightning. There are all of these sounds from heaven. Listen! Thou shalt have no other gods before Me. Thou shalt not make unto thyself any graven image. God is speaking. If I want to make it simple, I want you to know that the God that we serve and the God that we worship is a God of revelation. He is not one who sits in silence. Listen to the voice of God. Read that Old Testament, and as you read that Old Testament and you go through that Old Testament, you arrive at the time whenever there are those the multitude of prophets. When Israel had been away from God, when those 19 kings of the northern kingdom and the 19 kings of the southern kingdom, how many of them listened to God? Oh, they did not. But was God speaking? Ask Isaiah, ask Jeremiah, ask Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. Is God speaking? And God's speaking. And those words of those men given by the very mouth of God, by the Holy Spirit of God, were recorded by men as they wrote these things down. Holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Spirit of God. So the hand of Moses writing in the beginning, the hand of Moses, because of the Spirit of God that gave to Moses the very words of the Scriptures, wrote down those very words. Where did I come from? Ask the God of revelation. God will tell you where you came from. Don't ask science. Don't ask academia. Listen to the Creator. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And he became something that animals were not. He became a soul. We do not have a soul. We are a soul living in a house of clay. That's what God says. And look at all of those Old Testament prophets. And hear the voice of God again and again and again. Hebrews 1 says, He at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, but He hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. You get to the end of the Old Testament. When Malachi lays down his pen, for the next 400 years there is no prophet. And then there is that one of whom Isaiah spake, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, saying, Prepare the way of the Lord. In the Judean hillside, in the wilderness there, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness and saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The prophet said, The kingdom is coming. God spoke. God says, A king is coming. And a kingdom is coming. God has spoken. And for 400 years, no prophet had been there. But now, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And he bore witness of that one who was to come. And God has in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. His Son was there for 3.5 years. He gathered those 12 apostles and He spent time with them speaking the very words of God, the very message that God gave to him, the very word and the very work that God gave to Jesus. Jesus gave that word and that work to those apostles. But He said, There are things I wish I could tell you, but you could not understand them right now. But when I get to heaven, the Holy Spirit will be sent. I will pray the Father, and He'll send the Spirit. And the Spirit will guide you into all of the truth. John 16:13. You want to make it simple? God is, and God speaks. That's the story of the Bible. You want to know God? Sit down and read these words that were so eternal that Jesus says, one jot or one tittle of all of the jots and all of the tittles that were written by the Old Testament scribes 1,500 years prior to that time, maybe more than that, every single letter, the smallest letter is a jot, and not one single jot of the Old Testament had passed away. God spoke, He spoke to the prophets, and they wrote it down, and God protected it down to the very letters. God has spoken. And so He says to the apostles, when I ascend to the Father, I'll ask the Father, and He will send the Spirit. And the Spirit will show you things that are to come, things that you're not able to receive. And I'm going to give these things to you. And so the Bible talks about those New Testament apostles and those New Testament prophets. The Old Testament had said, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither is entered in the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those that love Him. And then Paul says, but God's revealed them unto us. Ephesians 3 says, as it has now been made known to His holy apostles and prophets, that which was hidden in the Old Testament. With the coming of the New Testament, there is the revelation of the fullness of the plan of God. You learn about that kingdom. You learn about the work of Jesus. You learn about the fact that while Judaism had focused on the Jews, Christianity focused on all mankind, every creature on this earth. That's the story of the Bible. And how remarkable it is that that third word is a word we've already used several times. It's the word has. God speaks, but God has spoken. You know what that means? The New Testament shows that just as when God had said everything He needed to say to the Jews, He was silent. What more, Israel, do you need than those 39 books that God spoke and the prophets wrote down? You and I need to understand that the religious division that is in our world today is the result that people fail to understand that God has spoken. And He's silent. How do I know that? John 16:13. He will guide you into all truth. How much of it? All of it. And when Jude wrote the next to last book as they're listed in your Bible, Jude says, The faith, singular, one, singular, the faith, which has once been delivered to the saints, and the more accurate modern translation says, once and for all, one time, for all men, the faith has been delivered. And Peter says it this way, God has, past tense, given unto us everything that pertains to life and godliness. If God, by the time of Peter, had given everything that pertains to life and godliness, what more can God say? That's the story of redemption. God is. God speaks through the prophets and then ultimately through the Son and the New Testament prophets. And we have within our hands the fullness of the revelation of God's will for mankind. That's the simple story of Christianity. You remember that commercial? It's not around now. But back when you had cell phones and you could not always have coverage everywhere you went, you remember that commercial where a man stood and he says, "Can you hear me?" And you've done that even now sometimes. You pick up the cell phone. "Well, I'm not hearing you good. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me?" The God of heaven figuratively echoes His voice to this earth this day. The God of heaven echoes His voice, and the God of heaven says, "Can you hear me?" That's the story. That's the story. Would you answer that? Brother V.E. Howard on his radio program used a phrase over and over again in his preaching over the radio for so many years. He'd be preaching along, and then he would say, "Are you listening? God has spoken. Can you hear Him? And are you listening?" Are you? His will is for you to hear the gospel. His will is that when you go into all the world and preach this good news to every creature, there will be those who believe. For without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that God is. Do you believe? Hath in these last days spoken through His Son. Except you believe that I'm He, you'll die in your sins. Do you believe it? And the message of the New Testament, by those New Testament apostles and prophets, says you need to repent. You need to change your life. It's not enough to know about the cross. It's not enough to know the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's not enough to know about Abraham and Noah and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and Elijah. It's not enough to know Bible stories. When He spoke through His Son says, if you do not change, you'll perish. Can you hear Him? And are you listening? Except you repent, you'll perish. Luke 13:3. And through one of those New Testament prophets, he says, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. Sue, before I baptized you, I ask you a question. Do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Son of God? And when she said, "I do," she was doing exactly what 1 Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says. If you'll confess Him with your mouth, you'll be saved. Have you done that? Why would you not this day, with your lips, confess your faith in the deity of Christ? And then the most amazing thing, He will wash you in His blood and wash away all of your sins. How does that happen? Oh, it doesn't happen just because somebody knows the Bible, it doesn't just happen because somebody on the outside without his heart being involved, you believe with all of your heart. No, I just want to go to church. Oh, no. It is whenever you hear the gospel and you understand His plan is for you to be immersed in water. Here's the description of what happens. What are you waiting on? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Romans 1:5 says it's the blood. That's the element that washes our sins away. The when is when we're baptized. Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. When you came up out of the water, Sue, I leaned over and said, you are as pure and as sinless as baby Jesus. Can you hear Him? Are you listening? We are singing a song of invitation to encourage you to respond to the Lord. If you're away from the Lord and need to come and become a part of the family of God, or if you're a wayward son or daughter of the Lord, the opportunity is yours right now to respond to this invitation as together we stand and sing, Will You Come?